Father, we know it's by grace we stand in your presence tonight. We know, Father, it's nothing that we have done or that we can ever do, but it's your amazing grace. Therefore, we stand here as trophies of your grace. You have called and you have molded and you have shaped and you have empowered us that we might be here tonight as the very evidence, Lord, of your word not returning void.
Yes.
You promised that there will be a people of every tongue and every nation. And here stands the very evidence of this.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Here I am, Lord. Because of your grace. We thank you for every minister tonight, Father. We thank you for every church represented. We thank you for this fellowship here, Lord. As we gather together, we know there are many things that go to make this meeting. Things that we might not even have thought of, but you know it all, Father. May you bless those and their efforts, their sacrifices, Lord. And may they be richly rewarded, Father. As we stand here, Lord, guarded, we are not guarded for any one particular reason, for any reason of man, or for any, reason to be seen or just to be heard, but our reason to gather is that, Lord, we might sit and learn of detail. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you are more than able to satisfy those needs tonight. You are more than able to do more than we can think or ask tonight, Lord. You know the needs of your people. You know their hearts tonight, Father. That what man can satisfy the heart of another, Father? What man can help another, Father? Only your grace tonight. Therefore, one word from you is worth more than anything that we can say, Lord. And I pray that you would make it so real tonight, that you would anoint us, you would direct us, you would guide us, Lord, in the things that we have need of, Lord. I pray at the end of the service we'll all be in such one spirit, in such one accord, Lord. The Holy Spirit, Lord, will be so pleased, and our hearts will be so blessed. Commit it all in your great hands now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you happy tonight? If you have your Bible, I invite you to the book of Titus, chapter 2, 1 John, chapter 4, and Matthew, chapter 5. And happy to be in your presence once again, and happy to be with the brothers in Durban and the elders. And we had such a wonderful time at a little fellowship lunch with Brother Dan. And we simply appreciate God, elders, the men of God who made the way that there can be such a work and ministry in Durban. And you know, I'm so thankful for them because you know, when they started the work, they're the one who took the reproach. They are the one who called Brahmanites and cults and all these different things. Amen. But they believed. Today, if they call us anything, it doesn't matter. Because if they could take it, we could take it.
Amen.
Amen. And they've made a way for us, and from them, built in other ministries and ministers and so forth. And so, we should always be mindful of our elders. And when you respect them, you're respecting God. When you honor them, you're honoring God. And we're thankful to be identified with Brother Dan, and pray that God will continue to bless him and use him and make him even so much wiser that he might be able to help shape and mold the young ministries that are to come. That's the responsibility of the elders, to mold and to shape and to encourage the young ministries that are coming up and do everything they can to empower them for the work that lays ahead of them. And that's a big responsibility. God bless them. Matthew chapter 5. I'm not very much for small talk, and we'll just get right into it right now. Matthew chapter 5, starting with the 9th verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And Titus chapter 2, starting with the 11th verse. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, that's 2,000 years ago, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the Holy Spirit dispensation in the fivefold ministry. And then, seven church ages. And then this verse, which is our day, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? In the book of First John, this is a very big series of messages I did back home. And I spoke a part of it at Brother Nami. I couldn't just go on. The Lord just had me in a certain area there. And tonight I'd like to see if the Lord will help us to just maybe go on with it. 1 John chapter 4, starting with the 16th verse. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Amen.
Wherein is our love made perfected, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated tonight. I'd like to speak, if I'm not finished with it tonight, may you continue, I don't know how the Lord will lead, but I'd like to speak on the key to the rapture. And you know, if you don't have the right key, you'll never unlock the door. And we know that the rapture is under the mystery of the seventh seal.
Amen.
And therefore it is important for us to look at that seventh seal.
Praise the Lord.
And in looking at that seventh seal, we'll be hoping that God would give us the key.
Amen.
Amen. Because there is always a key for anything.
Yes.
Is that true? And maybe you might think you have a key and so forth, but I don't want a key that I think is important. We all might have something that we think is important. But if that's not the right thing, it will fail.
Yes.
Is that right? It
Amen.
Will fail. And therefore you can be putting your efforts into something that you think is important, but it's not the real thing.
Amen.
And the devil is very good at sidetracking. And getting your attention. We were just talking about that today. Getting you focused on something and having you not balanced, but not in the middle of the road, but lopsided. And once he catches you there, well, he knows you're not dangerous. See, he knows that you're not, your effort, your energy are wasted. So I believe the prophet of God said the rapture is only for the bride.
Amen.
So the key to the rapture will only be in the bride.
Amen.
And I'm not going to play words games with you. I'm here to tell you that the key to the rapture is love.
Amen.
Because there's no greater force on the earth
Correct.
Than the power to love.
Amen.
Amen. If you love, there's two things that the human heart needs. It needs to love and to be loved.
Amen.
If you love and are loved, it is the most satisfying life there is.
Amen.
Amen. That's all you ever need. You say, well, I need this, I need this. Love provides everything.
Glory.
If I love Brother Norman, amen. All I need to know is that I love him. And then everything else that he would ever have need of, I would want to supply for him. Because love wants to see you lack for nothing.
Amen.
Love always wants to see you satisfied.
Yes, Lord.
If you want to have a good marriage and you say you love your husband, amen, satisfy him. Even with the things you think are foolish, you think that it's not important, you think it, amen, just satisfy him. It's not what you think. Amen. But if you love him and you satisfy those needs. Amen. And if a man is satisfied, it's nothing to argue about. Nothing to fuss about. Nothing. Amen. You're never unhappy.
Yeah.
Why are you unhappy? You're so satisfied.
Yeah.
Amen. Love makes a way to supply all your needs. Now, I want you to get the covenant. God says that the rapture is only for the bride.
Amen.
It's only for the bride. And then, you know, I told you that the key to this rapture is love. But the prophet of God also quoted from the scripture. He says, in the last day, the love of many will wax cold.
Yes.
He said, and the only love will be in the last day will be the bride.
Amen. Glory.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. He said, the only love that would exist in the last day will be in the true bride.
Amen.
Only she would be able, she can love. Because if she has love, that love, then brother, there's no way the rapture can, she can miss it.
Yes, sir.
I want you to listen very carefully now. If that be true, you can spend all your time in the mysteries of God and have not love.
Amen.
Or said so.
Yes.
You might have faith. You say, I pray for this man. And I say it to this circumstance, amen, I rebuke you and it disappears. And still not have love. The faith to move on. You can spend your lifetime figuring out the message and getting really deep and really into the heart of the mysteries of God. Because they are many. I appreciate for the Coleman. I believe he had his time and he did great things for this message. Because it was part of our group aspect. Everything grows.
Amen.
And as it grows, it needs things. He did not supply all, he did not see all, but the part he did see was important.
Amen.
And he brought out many great things about the vocabulary of the message. He focused on the vocabulary when you didn't know what dynamics, what he was saying, dynamics. Son of man, repulse. Amen. Harvest time. Begin to use these words that you become familiar with. But even in school, they start to use words until you become familiar with them. You might not know the whole meaning. You might not know how to put them all together. But it was part of our learning. It was necessary. I appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Junior Jackson. He went into the prophecy of the message. He went into Daniel 17 weeks and he went into tribulation. He might not see it all. But at least he got us studying to see if it is or isn't.
Right.
Amen. Lee Mayer went into the Greek in a message. Different people with different things. And they all see things so differently. But yet, do you know they were all getting it from the same message?
Amen.
And watch very carefully. All them who say they have it, the Libyans who say they've got it, or they've got something really good from the message. So then the Coleman said they got it, something really good. Junior Jackson said that's something really good. And that's wonderful. I want them to have it. I want to have it. And whatever they have, I want, if it's real.
Correct.
Right.
Amen.
But watch every group. Now they're bad men or there's no good or bad, we're all in the same condition. Watch their attitude.
Amen.
Towards others.
Amen.
Amen.
Watch how they separate. If you don't see it my way, the highway.
Yeah.
If you don't believe what I believe, all of it, not some of it. And if you believe it, why aren't you with us? Why are you with them?
Right.
You see, we have many truths. But what's our attitude? What's our attitude? We say we know so much. But if you know so much, you want to love so much. Because the same God that you say you believe said love covers a multitude of sins. How much? How much? You really believe that?
Amen.
How much is a multitude? If you don't see what I'm saying and say, brother, I can't believe that. I can't believe that God is not everywhere. The prophet said it like this. Would my love ought to cover that? Mm. I say I see, do I see because I studied it? Or do I see because the grace of God opened my eyes to see? Would He not be the same grace? Does love cover a multitude of sins?
Amen.
Let's say he's a pastor. He's a pastor. Let's say he became a pastor because he had a disagreement with another brother in a church. Yeah, and so they have a big thing. Now he's here. Does love cover a multitude of sin to overlook the both of them and not take sides, but to try to bring them together?
Amen. Amen.
In other words, I'm trying to tell you, 2 million left Israel. I keep saying it over and over because I want my heart wants to be affected. My heart wants to make sure I'm right.
Amen.
Being a minister does not guarantee me a rapture.
Amen. Amen.
Because 2 million came out of Egypt under the third pool, under a vindicated prophet. God veiled behind Moses. And 2 million, almost 2 million did not make it. Almost 2 million did not make it. That includes the Levites.
True. Amen.
Includes the Levites. Now, I can preach many things to make you happy. I want to preach what I feel God has put in my heart and that is necessary.
Amen.
I can preach for you to enjoy. But I think you enjoy truth too.
Amen.
I believe that you want not to just be like you are, but you want to live such a way that Christ said that you could love your way.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Then, isn't that what this is all about?
Amen.
At the end time, there's only one people who can love, right?
Yes.
And that is God's people.
Amen. Amen. Yes,
I do not want to love like the poorest virgin, because that's not perfect love.
That's right.
I do not want to love, and the denominations do love.
Yes.
Right. Sometimes they live better than us in the sense of getting along and respecting.
Yes.
And we do in the very message.
Correct.
Yet we have so much more than them.
Amen.
See, if you spend all your energy trying to prove who's right and who's wrong,
right,
it will gain you nothing.
Amen.
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 It will give you. You can make certain stands and cause division because you are right. God is not interested in who's right or wrong. God is interested in your attitude.
Glory.
God can fix the right or wrong.
Yes.
God is interested in your attitude.
Amen.
Love covers a multitude of sins. Here's what Brother Adam said. Oh my, look at it. I did it there. I left it home at your house. Sorry, boy. Let's come around. Thank you. You see, I tested all these glasses before. I know it works. David said, let me put on what I tried. What about said in the message, 11th commandment?
Amen.
He says this, like the scripture, there are little things that we may do in this life. But Jesus said, if you give a cup of water in my name, you will be rewarded.
Amen.
I'm so glad to see the little things we do. Love is a powerful force. And when love is projected, when it comes to the end of its strength, then sovereign grace will take it up.
Amen.
From there, and will grant the object that love has asked for. That is the reason we have a Savior tonight. God so loved the world, and His love being projected towards the world produced a Savior. God so wanted to see you well that His love went out and produced an atonement for your sickness as well as your sins. It was the love of God that constrained Him to do it. Nothing is greater than love.
Amen.
It brings trust. Watch carefully.
Amen.
It brings trust. It brings faith.
Yes.
It brings pardon. Three things. It brings trust, it brings faith, and it brings pardon. Love has no fear. Love casts out fear. I have found a great deal of fear among Christians. This is not right and should not be so. Fear is a lack of confidence. But if you love and have confidence, you will cast out fear.
Amen.
God wants you to have love and confidence in Him. This will cast away your fears and bring you to serve Him with a greater love.
Amen.
Love is not based on legalistic laws that we have to keep.
That's right.
I wish I could stop there, but I wouldn't. Love is not based on legalistic laws that we have to keep. Love is based on faith in one another.
Amen.
And faith in God.
Amen.
Trust in God. Confidence in God. And I tell you this, my friends. When the love of God comes into your heart, you won't go around hurting or being hurt.
Amen. Amen.
How many have been hurt lately?
Yes, sir.
How many has been offended? Okay, I know you're going to take your notes. Is that because of love? or is it? How many has been hurt lately? Just think about your life now, because it makes sense you go on.
Yeah.
Amen. Think about when last somebody said something that hurt you. Just think about it. Think about how somebody might try to belittle you or your family, criticize you, by fault. What were your reactions? What are your thoughts? And what about you, who have said it, and have done it, and is doing it? And even right now in your heart might have things that you've done and said that wrong. The reason you've done it is because you lack love.
Amen.
Whether you be preacher, whether you be deacon, whether you be trustee, you will not go wrong with it. And then if you are been done wrong, you will go around being good. It's how can that be? Because love is very powerful.
Amen.
If you see it the right way, and that's why I would like to look at it tonight. So Brother Branham said the most powerful force there is love. I want to show you also that Brother Branham was allowed to go over to the cutting of time. To the regions of the sea.
Amen.
How many remember that?
Amen.
And he goes over into the region and he comes back saying something like this. Can I read it for you?
Yes.
Good thing you left this, brother. Say the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place.
Yes, sir.
For that's all there was. No matter how many, how much religion, demonstration, how many good deeds you've done, or whatever you've done, that won't count. Nothing on that day.
That's right.
It'll take perfect love.
Amen.
So whatever you do, lay aside everything else.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. If you're striving to know whether 17 is open or not, amen. You say, well, sorry, but that's important. But he said, love will provide everything.
Amen.
Amen. If you have confidence in his love, you know that he will supply your need.
Amen.
But if you know he loves you so much, it has a way of causing you to love him back.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
In such a way, amen, that you can lay aside and seek after loving him more.
Amen.
Amen.
But the problem is if you love, say you love God and love not your brother, then you lie.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, brother, sister, that even myself, I can find myself a liar. Because many a times, see, unless you become conscious of it, you don't know.
Amen.
Amen. But your brother can do your things while you're in this message, when you're growing up in this message, even while you're in ministry, this message, and you hold that thing and it bites you. And you preach about love, and then your own heart, there's something wrong. There's a tension there.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't talk with each other for months. And when you see one going to be in a meeting, you're not there.
Amen.
Yes.
we don't consider that to be hate. Because we don't know what love is and we don't know what hate is.
Amen.
We think hate is a feeling and we think love is a feeling.
Correct.
Amen. But not God's love, it's not a feeling.
No, sir. Right.
And you can hate and it not be a feeling.
Yes.
Tonight we look at it and see that. You know, we can sail through this like a 2 million. Don't let your eyes close to pass over that side. Thinking the wrong thing, with the wrong confidence, with the wrong hope. Because you dress right and obey the message does not mean you love.
Amen.
The very proof of it is how we get along with each other.
Amen.
The very proof of it is how we handle with each other.
That's right.
Can I read again? I will speak in the name of the Lord. Second time, thus say the Lord, another message from that time on. I will speak in the name of the Lord. Except you have that perfect love, you will never be there.
Amen.
Because nothing could ever be there without love. Your spirit would be out of place. It couldn't come in. But God says, now love one another. Above everything that you do, love one another. And as you love one another, you will love God. You will love each other and you will love God, for God is love. And a man that walks in love walks in life. And perfect love casts out all fear. Then if you can't take him at his word and not fear a bit about it, Lord, I love you. I know you're going to answer because you promised me you're going to do it. And it takes away all fear. God is love, perfect love. But you don't know what love is. Prophet God is saying, but you don't know what love is. That's why people don't know what faith is. Tell me the truth. Isn't it true that we know that he did not eat an apple? How did it improve your faith? Apart from improving your knowledge. Did it cause you to love God more? But do you think it affected your love in any way? You know he came down and sunk that mountain and he opened the seals. And now you know the Antichrist is the White Horse Rider. That the beast and the image of the beast is denomination and the Catholic Church, the image of the beast, the Protestant Church. How did that affect your love? I've seen men up here like if it was glee and happiness. The Roman Church is a prostitute. Look at those people. Look how they dress. Look how they worship Mary. Did it affect our heart to grieve for them? Because that would have been us if not for the grace of God.
Amen.
Did it affect our hearts? Amen. He said, because we don't know what love is, and therefore we don't know what faith really is. Amen. I wonder if we could be a long, long time in this and not know. Could it be? Could it be that we could know a lot about Malachi 4, Revelation 10, 7? We could know a lot about scriptures, a lot about the mark of the beast, and a lot about, you know, the devil and his work, and a lot about dressing, and a lot about COD, and a lot about how church order should be. You know, you can love truth and not love God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. The Greeks love wisdom. That's true. The Jews love signs and wonders. But do they love God? I like what Elisha said. Elisha cried out. He didn't cry out, where is the mantle, where is this? Where is the God of Elijah?
Amen.
He was looking for everything else that comes. He wants the God of Elijah.
Amen.
Rabbi, I'm just going to say, what is the law of God? Perfect love casts out all fear. Love and faith is the same thing. Perfect love casts out all fears but gives faith. I'm just laying this foundation to see how important this is. I love him, we say, we have faith, we love him. But if we love him, we'll have faith. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Watch carefully. Brother Branham is telling you, he said, I'd rather have a church, listen now for a moment.
Yes.
I would rather have a church that knows nothing about any spiritual gifts.
Yes. Right.
And just be so in love with each other.
Amen.
And
amen.
Amen. I'd rather have that than all the spiritual gifts operating in the church. Now, that might sound hard in a Pentecostal group, but I would rather it. Where is this gift? There is confusion. Where there is gift, there can be question. But where there is love, it is perfect. And that's right. And if you have perfect love, you will have perfect gifts, you see. That's right. So work first with love. That brings fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. Number seven. Love brings what? Fellowship. Oh, wait a minute. Fellowship with only them that are good. Only them that walk right. Only them that agree with the way you see the world. But carefully, fellowship has nothing to do with position and status. Amen. Because you are a sinner and God shed the blood and put fellowship with you.
Amen.
And fellowship there under the blood. Why under the blood? To overlook all your mistakes and still have fellowship with you.
Amen.
Amen. He made a way to cover all your faults because he still wanted to have fellowship with you while you were in a fallen condition. Now we want to make everyone right before we have fellowship.
Yeah.
You see, the ones who've been in the rest of the Lord can see that we are going in a direction. We need to check ourselves.
Amen.
If you've been in this a long time, you know we need a checkup. Something in it we're doing is the key is not right.
Yeah.
We have focused our energy on things, maybe mysteries. Maybe I'm not saying the mysteries are bad. This is the day.
Amen.
But it has to have something that will make that thing live.
Yeah. Amen.
It's life.
Yes.
Amen. Otherwise it has no meaning, it has no power.
Amen.
And God will not honor it.
Amen.
Any service rendered without love is unacceptable.
Amen.
Any service. But fellowship with God is what? The first and original fellowship that human beings had was with God. There wasn't another living creature on the earth that could fellowship with Adam but God. Then God made him a helpmeet, which became part of him. And don't be weary, don't be scared, don't be upset. Just have faith and believe. And the only way you can have faith, you have to have love first. The only way to have faith is to have love first.
Amen.
Wow. Remember when you hear what Malachi 4? You believed it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you had faith?
Yeah.
Therefore you had love. Unless there's a different there's difference in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And there's measures in love. Okay? So there's a difference in faith. There's measures of faith and there's a difference in faith. And the only way you can have faith, you have to have love first. Love produces faith. For perfect love gets it, cast out all fear. I'm just read a couple more. Love, when love produces fellowship, and at that day sin has separated divine love. Sin separates divine love. God told Adam and Eve not to eat of certain fruits, and they did. Sin brought separation. Sin, by separation, brought hatred, malice,
yes.
Strife,
amen.
Envy. What happened? They separated from divine love.
Amen.
So when someone is separated from divine love, they are going to have malice, strife, envy, hatred. But when you separate, from divine love, then you can't overlook your brother's mistake no more.
Amen.
When you separate from divine love, you cannot overlook your brother's mistake at all. I know some people in my area do some foolish things. Some foolish things. Pretty foolish things. They just sometimes leave an assembly and stay home because somebody just did something wrong. Say
something.
Stay home, brother. I think that's a foolish thing. Amen. But watch carefully. If I cannot, in my heart, even though I know what he's doing is wrong, if I exclude it, then something is wrong.
Amen.
Amen. If I must be able to overlook his mistake and his ignorance, because, amen, God can open his eye in this moment if God wanted. But you see, God is trying me. Amen. Because, amen, if I can't overlook his ignorance, his mistakes, it means I don't have the goods.
Amen.
Amen. God might permit people in your own assembly to do strange things.
Yes.
Even ministers doing strange things, other ministers, they may say, "Wait, man, how would you do that?" Mm-hmm. Oh, we're separate. The only reason you love love. You say, "Because I'm separate because he's of the word." But brother, you'll find out, even when you're in this message, you will see things of the word. And later on, you'll find out you're of the word, but God didn't separate from you.
That's right.
He didn't pull away from you. He didn't do those things.
Amen.
Amen. You'll see that. Yep. Amen. Like I told you last night, the things that I preach opposite to them years ago.
Amen.
He didn't pull away from me. He waited with long suffering in my mistakes. Didn't bore me out, but in the right time, he opened my eyes. The rapture, we haven't even got to the scriptures yet. Key to the rapture. But then God goes on to say, when you separate from divine love, you can't overlook your brother's mistake no more. You've got to bore him out. Not only bore him out, you've got to tell Tom, Dick, and Harry. You've got to prove to him he's wrong. You've got to threaten him. Yeah, man, you're trying to manipulate him, frighten him,
yeah.
Cut him off. And that's the time that you really have the goods. That's the time you really be embracing. I said, "Before you got escape, you open my eyes, open your eyes, and oh, after all, our Father is, he's a good corrector." You got to board him out. That's right. You can't overlook your sister's mistake no more. Because you've got away from that divine part, that love part. But if you really love the Lord Jesus, if sister or brother does something to you, oh well, that's alright. They didn't mean to do it. They might mean to do it, but if they're in their right mind, they wouldn't do it.
Amen.
They're not in their right mind. So who do you pity? The one who's in the right mind, or the one who's not in their right mind? The one who is not in the right mind will do all sorts of things to hurt you. The one in the right mind, you don't have to say, "I'm sorry." Because they don't do anything.
Amen.
They didn't mean it. That's the kind of love that Christ has. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. What's for the band now? This is the message, way to have fellowship. He's showing you the key in the way to have fellowship. He says, "What if I held my sins? What if he held my sins against me?" He's showing you the way to have fellowship. "What if he held my faults against me?" I said, "Are you holding any against your brother? His faults against him? They have to do wrong to prove that you can be missing. Are you holding any faults? Anything against your brother because he has faults, he has done things?" Abraham said, "What if he held my faults, my sins against me? What an awful person I was. But he loved me so well, he forgave me for them. When I was undone, he forgave me. He loved me in pure love. And when Adam separated himself from pure love of keeping God in his heart, when he did that, then these other faculties come in. Malice, envy, strife, hatred, and so forth." I think I've read enough, don't you? When perfect love comes into the human heart, all demons in hell will never be able to upset it. I am convinced that ever in my life that I will see perfect love to enter into that place. What God is not understanding, he's not saying it about theology. He had an experience where he cannot go one time. And in that experience, God was showing him what was more powerful. He said, instead of hating that book, he said, I love it.
Yes.
And I kill a book. Stop now.
Amen.
He showed how while cutting his grass,
yes,
he shook a hornet's nest. And the old came out and was ready. He said, something came over him. He loved it.
Amen.
And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you. And he said, they went back in. Amen. Look how love is powerful. Remember the meanest man that ever lived, Blue? And he was using that corn to call the young corns.
Yeah.
Remember the mother's love,
yes,
to give her life for her corn. Look how powerful love is. Not only kill a bull, not only for the prophet, but for the short creation.
Amen.
Without a soul.
Yes.
How it affected the man's heart.
Amen.
And he became a Christian.
Amen.
He saw something genuine.
Amen.
Amen. You can have all the message lined up, you can have all the revelation of it, but it does not affect people's heart, not even your family's heart sometimes.
Amen.
You remember the possum?
Amen.
With her young, she came because she loved her pastor, her young. If she died, that was the end of them. And came to be prayed for. You remember the maniac that came to attack the prophet? He said, what conquered him? Love. Remember the Mexican man that was blind without shoes? In that message, the prophet is going to show you how to love. He said he began to see that that could have been me.
Yes.
Amen. My father. It could have been.
Yes.
Amen. What was the difference? And he began to, we call it, have empathy. He began to see himself that enter into that man.
Yes.
Begin to feel for him. Say he loved him. He said it's love that healed him.
Amen.
Amen.
You believe we can? That that's our promise.
Amen.
You believe that we are there?
Amen.
I know we have to be there, but do you believe we are there?
Amen.
I know you are there with the message, but are your heart condition there with this love? I say minister and ministry. Are we there? Is our heart in that place there?
Yeah.
That it can affect the healer. It can affect nature. It can be felt in such a way that even the creation is affected. Therefore, I say we need to focus on the key. And this key, as we know it, is the seventh seal, which is called love. Brother, sorry, that is dying. Love. I'm going to show you the scripture, Titus, which says, we are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God. Now, the denomination is looking for that, but we are not looking for it.
Amen.
That has already happened.
Amen.
If you have not seen the glorious appearing of the great, you say, but Tony, what are you talking about? Amen. The great God unveiled himself. Didn't you see it?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Isn't that true? The great God unveiled himself. Now, do you agree?
Amen.
Was this day the unveiling of God?
Amen.
Here is this, a mighty God unveiled.
Amen.
Who do you say this is?
Amen.
Unrecognized presence
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Who is this man cast there?
Amen.
Greater than Solomon is here now.
Glory.
Amen. That scripture is history.
Amen.
The denomination is looking for it.
Amen.
Amen. That has played out.
Yes,
but guess what now? The glorious one has appeared.
Amen.
When did he start appearing?
Yes.
Amen. All we know, this glorious one had appeared in the form of a prophet, and a pillar of fire came over the prophet in 1909.
Amen.
That's a little bit of doctrine before I go into this. Show you that what we are looking for sometimes has already happened.
Amen.
And therefore, rapture can happen.
Yep.
And you have to come into the condition to recognize.
Amen.
He says, sometimes it will go right over your head.
Mm.
Watch now. So now I'm going to look. Of course, you know, I think you have thought here already that the seventh seal is the head stone. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And Brother Brown told us that every seal was open in part. Mm. Isn't that true? Why? All seals was open in part.
Right.
It's open in part. Nobody understood it. But one day it came to pass that it was revealed. And the day for revealing of the seals was our day.
Amen.
But all seal was open in part. Therefore, the seventh seal was also open in part. Before it was revealed.
Amen.
It was already open in part. Now what is the seventh seal? Okay, now some say that it's open and some say it's not open. They are both right. They are both right. But the only thing about it, the ones who have both sides don't see each other right either. Even though they are both right. The other one say, you are wrong.
Yeah.
And the other one say, no, you are wrong. I say they are both right.
Amen.
Amen. Because the seventh seal is not an event. Amen. The seventh seal is a condition, like my brother would say.
Amen.
Amen. That many things happen and is happening.
Yes.
And therefore it continues to happen.
Glory.
It has happened, it is happening, and
yes,
it will happen.
Amen.
Amen. And the seventh seal, I'll break it down now into two parts. First, the first part of the seventh seal is the appearing of God in the form of a prophet. And the appearing is a pillar of fire in the form of a prophet. That's the first part. The second part is the coming of the Lord Jesus, which is the pillar of fire incarnate God.
Amen.
This part we do not know.
Amen.
That part of the seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, nobody knows that.
Yes.
Amen. So the one who says it's not open is right, but not really right. The one saying who is open, the one saying, man, it's all open, is right, but not really right. Because he doesn't know the coming of the Lord either, even though he says it's open. But yet, they fuss at each other. Now, if I go to Cape Town, and I ask him about seven seals, Cape Town would say, seven seals is the husband and wife, the marriage covenant. If I go to New York and say the seven seals, the seven bundles. If I go to Ohio, seven seals is the Godhead, the appearing and the coming of the Lord. If I go to Junior Jackson Group, seven seals happens before the tribulation. They place a prophet. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Seven seals is different things to different people. And they're all right.
Yeah.
Because seven seal is not something just as an event. Seven seal is a concept. It represents finish. It represents not only finish, but it represents even completion. It represents finality. It represents the highest form of maturity in anything. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I was looking for a word. The highest form of maturity in anything. So the seventh seal can be the ripening of the grain when it cannot be ripened anymore.
Amen.
Seventh seal can be the union of a man and a woman that they cannot come any closer anymore. Seventh seal can be a son who has come into the wisdom and maturity of his father to be adopted. That's seventh seal also.
Amen.
Amen. It means no matter what you take, as long as it is the highest form of maturity or ripening, that's seventh seal. And you can use different things to express it. When you come to the knowledge of redemption and the redeemed, you can say that's seventh seal. It means many things. Follow now. So there are two phases. But this is not all the seventh seal is. Under the seventh seal, we're going to be in the supper.
Amen.
Under the seventh seal, we come back to the earth for the millennium. Under the seventh seal, we go to future home. And Brother, the seventh seal is unfolds to the ceaseless eternity. So then why do we say seventh seal is just a thing? It's the same thing we think about the message. message is just the opening of the word and the mystery. And once that is your key, your focus, you will never come to a place to enter into that rapture. You will miss the mark. The prophet is telling you how to get there. Drop everything. Focus on one thing. Love.
Amen.
This is, should we stop preaching about the mysteries? No, but the mysteries should be preached because Jesus said, the Father loved the Son and showed him many things. They're very showing you of the mysteries, the evidence of his love. Don't miss it. Don't put the mysteries above his love. His revealing of the mystery, the evidence of his love.
Amen.
It must not, amen. Yeah. The gospel should never be preached just as knowledge.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. It should be preached because it is the love of God. It will open your eyes, show you who you are, and give you the things that you have need of.
Amen.
Jesus said, the Father loved his Son and showed him many things. Why did God send the prophet in the last day? Because he just want to show you how wise he is. Show you his love.
Amen.
To reveal his love. If he's showing you anything, he loves you. If he doesn't love you, why would he take his time to reveal himself to you? So if the Father loved his Son and showed him many things, did he show you many things?
Amen.
When we are preaching the mysteries of the word, it is the very evidence of his love.
Yes,
sir. Amen. He's showing you just like he showed Jesus. Amen. His love.
Amen.
But when it's disconnected from that, then the only thing you're focusing is, I must understand the mysteries. If I know the mysteries, then I will have more faith. And I will be able to do something. Because you can't have that faith without God. We're missing the mark. We're missing something along the way. Focus again. Show you what happens. So now we have the appearing and the coming. This we do not know. But we know the appearing. We're talking about when did he start appearing. But what are we talking about? What the Bible says, the pillar of fire had not appeared for 2,000 years. When did it appear?
Yeah.
1909, but the eyes of the prophet is too young to see it.
Right.
Can't recognize it. So what did he do? He appears again in 19, when the prophet is about what, 7 years old?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Neither drink, neither smoke, they find your body anyway. But when you get old, amen, then he appears again in a whirlwind.
Amen.
Then he appears again in 1933. Public appearance.
Amen.
See how much force this has. Then in 1946, an official appearing for commission of the prophet. 1950, the first scientific appearing. Takes this photograph, proves that it is real. Someone is here. 1963, universal appearing. Picture taken. Still all over the world.
Amen.
Amen. 1965. No picture taken.
Amen.
No cloud. There's a man in a body of flesh. There's still in your thoughts of your heart and saying, not who is that Melchizedek, who is this?
Amen.
God appearing in a human flesh in the form of a prophet, thoroughly vindicated in the word. Now I know, when we were growing up in a message, and Brother Daniel knows this, when we were growing up in a message, I look young, I go back to good days. But when we were growing up in a message, we were growing up in first generation. We did not have all the books and things. We formed our doctrines and teaching on limited material, book after book. I know good men were preaching, and I met them in Ohio, good men that were preaching from the Syrian, body, soul and spirit, just like what the man was talking. I was teaching that. Did not have the other material to catch.
Yeah.
That after the word was open, it's teaching body, spirit, soul.
Right. Right.
And listen, I know you might be looking down at those men now, but guess what? If you were there once Brother Branham said it and it was in a book and you didn't have all the material, you didn't know, you would have been
amen
in it. You see where I'm going? Amen. So I want to show you that there was a doctrine, and there still is in many places, of brothers who were trying to preach on the seventh seal but with limited material. And there was a doctrine that started in 1963 was the coming of the Lord. And before that coming was this. And so they started preaching, there's no communion, there's no foot washing,
yeah, right.
You're no millennium, there's no physical body.
Yeah.
Because of limited material. Now watch carefully. That could have been us.
Amen.
That could have been us if not for the grace. There's nothing to say that we look, I showed you last time, we could be blind and be sincere about the message and still be blind and wrong.
Yeah.
There's nothing, it's the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Follow me again. I'm coming to love, but I want to show you this. So now, there, that's one teaching. There is a second teaching. And the second teaching says that 63 is the coming of the Lord. The Lord descended in 63. But Paul Brennan said that the same one that appeared in 63 was speaking to him over the Ohio River.
Amen.
In 1933, the same one who told me about your marriage and divorce, the same one that spoke to me in the Ohio River.
Amen.
So now they said, well, Jesus coming took 33 years. So therefore the coming is a stretch out in time. No. No. Because you see, in the days of Jesus, two things happened. One, when God came down in him, that was incarnate God.
Amen.
Brother Branham is not incarnate God.
But,
at the Jordan River, that was incarnate God. But that was not only incarnate God, that was God also appearing. So that was the coming, and that was also the appearing at the same time.
Amen.
Because Deuteronomy 18:15 says, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet.
Amen.
And a prophet is God appearing in human
flesh.
But the same one appearing in human flesh was not just any kind of flesh, it was God body himself.
Amen.
So that was the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And the appearing 2,000 years ago, all in one. But not today. Today, just like John the Baptist is in a different body, Jesus in a different body 2,000 years ago. Now it's reversed.
Amen.
John the Baptist, amen, is Brother Branham, in that same body, amen, God comes and appears in that same body, not just John the Baptist.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The same God. Turn it around. So here now, 2,000 years ago, you can't use that analogy. It does not work. So what God did, he made the appearing in Brother Branham's body to fulfill the word.
Amen.
And he will make the coming in his own body.
Amen.
And that is what we need to be here.
Yeah.
So here we have now that teaching about the coming of the Lord in 63 is not right. Because after the series was over, Brother Branham preached, flashing red light, sign of his coming. It was a doctrine that was taught because we did not have all the material. I say we, because I in the early days taught it also. But when all the material came and the books did not come available, until all the messages did not become available in 1989, that's when Neil Halliburton put all of the messages that he had on computer disk. How many people had a computer in 89? How many pastors did? I did. That's how I knew. In 89. You know me, 89, just count the years backwards. Just 63. And see how long we went, limited material. Not having it all. I say all of them to say this. So the seventh seal was not understood. If you ask anybody about the seventh seal, they say, oh, it's the seventh thunders. What else? It gives rapid faith. What else? Well, yeah. Only statements of facts, but they could not really give you a spiritual understanding of what the thing really is. Or they say it's the coming of the Lord. Really? One brother really says, well, you know, 63 was the coming of the Lord, but word form. I say, show me the word. Show me the quotes. Anytime you have word form coming, it's a prophet. Because the word cannot come without a prophet. And if there's prophet, there's God appearing in human flesh.
Amen.
Therefore, that's not a coming. This is the time. Therefore, this is not known, but this is known. I say this so that you can see that what is this part of the seven seals you're talking about? The 63 part. You see now, even though Jesus was the incarnate God, even his ministry was Son of Man, God appearing in human flesh. But this appearing did not happen at the time of his birth. It appeared on him at the Jordan River. It leaves him at the, it leaves him in Gethsemane. It picks him up at the resurrection. It goes up to heaven on Mount of Olives with him. Leaves the body there and comes down. What is it doing? It is ascending and descending.
Amen.
On the Son of Man.
Amen.
See? There's an ascending and descending. So now, under the appearing, you have two poles. Starting from 1946 to 15. You have two poles. Is that true? First pole and second pole. That is the same Son of Man appearing, because Son of Man had three poles in his ministry. So Son of Man started his ministry in 1946 under the first pole. Is that true? Second pole, around 1950 or so, coming into the discernment of the hearts. So you have two poles there. But in 1962, Brother preached a message, present state of my ministry. And he showed us how the anointing is leaving him. He said, "Well, now you're washed up." He said, "No, I'm not washed up. I'm washed in by the grace of God." And he said, "I'm going to the mountain without food or water." What is happening? He took the text that they will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. Now they did not want to hear it anymore. He cannot go back to the church ages because it's coming to the end. He cannot go forward because there are no more letters or church ages. The only thing that's left is the book. And now he's asking in Revelation 5 and 2, who's worthy to take this book and lose the seals
there? Amen.
That strong angel of Revelation 5 and 2 is Brother Branham.
Amen.
He answers the question. He asks it and he answers it in a rich message.
Amen.
No pope, no bishop, no presbyter, waiting for the book to come down. Amen. I'm saying this to show you that in 62, the end of 62, the pillar of fire leaves the prophet. And then in the breach message, Brother Branham is not preaching what is happening on the earth. He's preaching what's happening up there. He's not telling you what is on the earth in the breach. He's telling you what is happening up there with the Lamb. Amen. With the abstract owner, title deed, the original owner. He's showing you up there, not down here. So the same pillar of fire that was with him here now moves into that dimension because it must bring back the book.
Amen.
The revelation of the word. It is not that different. So the descent of the Lord, this is only the, we call it the climax. See, the Lord descends not just like this. First pole. Second pole. Third pole, revealing of the word. And then all of a sudden, God is in human flesh, fully revealed and could be proved in his own word.
Amen.
You catch what I'm saying?
Amen.
Therefore, in 62, when the cloud comes down, that was not the coming. It was the same one here now, coming to fulfill the third pole of his ministry. The opening of his word. See?
Thank you, Lord.
Now, with that being said, there is something under this, all of this happening, that happens under the seventh seal. So the seventh seal of the appearing and the ministry of the Son of Man, that's one part of it. The next one is the coming of the Lord, and there we have many other things. Then we find that the appearing of the Lord or the seventh seal was open in part all the way to 1909. But the ministry did not start until 1946. Where did Brother Branham have the experience with the King of Gold? Was it after 63? When did he have the experience of the Mexican blind man that perfect love came upon him and healed him? Was it after 63?
No.
When did he have the experience with the hornets? The power to control nature. The power, even that nature will recognize there's something about this individual. Even the power to control. The power to heal. Was it before this?
was he doing? He was revealing to us after the seventh seal. Amen. That the power was here. Amen. Something about Brother Branham, he found a key. That's why he said that he went over the other side. He said, I am determined. The only way to get there is the perfect love.
Amen.
He said, seek after him. Seek it until you can love your enemy.
Amen.
To that place. It happened before 63. Look at that, friends. In the midst of a congregation, while he was preaching and talking about that, a man was experiencing perfect love. And they were all caught up with the first two pearls. And the most powerful thing that ever struck the earth was happening in a man's life. We can also be caught up in many things in the message and miss the most important thing. How do I get the perfect love? How do I get the perfect love? All of this happened and they were missing it. Do you think they thought it was just another great man with great faith? It wasn't. It was God. Amen. Empowering a man in such a way that he himself is telling you, something came upon me. God showing you the power of perfect love. He said, I have no fear. Is that going to happen to us? But when it happens to us, it's not just something that's going to come upon us. It's something that you already possess that
Amen.
Is in you.
Amen.
Amen. Something that is already in you. That was just showing you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That it is there and it's under this seal. It sure it was under that seal. Let us start. Let's go to the book of 1 John. Sorry it takes so long for laying that foundation, but I must show you that that happened under the seventh seal. If I'm going to tell you perfect love is under the seventh seal, I must show you that it's there. It's not when the Lord comes you're going to have perfect love. The coming of the Lord will do nothing for you. You'll already be like Him.
Yes.
And then you'll get a body like His body. But He's not going to do anything for you. Whatever needs to be done must come from this message.
Amen.
We're not looking for Brother Brown to come back.
Amen.
At least not to bring any more message, because I already believe He did what God called Him to do.
Amen.
See? So we're not looking. Look at the scripture here now. 1 John 4 and 16. And we have known and believed the love God had for us. In other words, under that seventh seal, one thing must come into the believer's heart. They must know by experience and believe. What? Not that they love God. The love that God has for you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Not just say God loves me, or you know God is love. No. You must come to experience it. Brother Brandon, amen, experience it. That's why he told you. He said, I was not good.
Amen.
Oh, what if he had kept his, you know, what if he had marked my sins against me? Amen. Why do you think the plan of redemption is open? It is not open so you can just see what God was thinking. It's to show you the love of God for His redeemed.
Amen.
How He has planned every step of the way.
Amen.
Made provision in every step of the way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Redemption is a love story.
Amen.
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 Amen. That you might come like what Paul said. That you might come. Amen. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. Brother, I want this love.
Yes.
I want this faith. I know. Because look, the one thing I've seen among ourselves, that during the ministry, we feel justified when somebody's wrong or done wrong to behave and say, cut him off. Don't talk about this. Because we believe, but love has no right or wrong. Because love, amen, projects grace.
Amen.
And grace projects mercy. And mercy projects forgiveness.
Amen.
And forgiveness pardons the individual.
The beast, the image of the beast.
Who showed you the mark of the beast? And you came out, didn't you? Who showed you that God is in His Word, not in His church? Who showed you that God is His Word? Who shows you the Word is God? Who is going to show you Lord, the natural type of spiritual? Who is going to show you the principles of God? Is the Father showing the Son?
Amen.
Amen. Is the Father love the Son and showing many things?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. When you begin to see, it's because He loves you, He is showing you.
Amen.
He didn't have to show you. Look at the rest of people that you walk with that are still in the system.
Amen.
Look at the people that are still in the system. Amen. Now watch carefully. Brother Bram said the proof of God's love is election. An election is not based on good or bad or faith or doubt. Before the children ever were born. Amen. God don't love everybody. Remember we took out last night? The world that God loved is the world of His elect. That's where He comes to redeem.
Amen.
He said, whosoever believeth, only whom the Father draweth will come to me.
Amen.
No man can come to me, lest my Father draw him. Amen. Jacob, I love you so I hate before they ever can do good or evil.
Amen.
Before the children ever born.
Amen.
Amen. Election is a sovereign act of God. Amen. You cannot respond to God that God put something in you to respond by.
Amen.
Amen. And He calls that the gift of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Therefore, the proof of God's love is election.
Amen.
The proof of election is that He puts a gene in you.
Thank you, Lord.
The proof you have a gene is that when the star for your day comes with the light for your day. Amen. My sheep will hear my voice.
Amen.
You are always a sheep.
Amen.
That's why you can hear His voice.
Amen.
The proof of God's love is election. The proof of election is a gene. The proof of a gene is that you can hear the voice of God. And the proof, amen, that you can hear the voice of God is that you are able to walk in the light.
Amen.
And if you can walk in the light, the proof that you can walk in the light is that you have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Amen.
Amen. Is that you're able to walk in the light. And if you walk in the light, you are to have this word. Fellowship one with another, the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. Fellowship is not based on you are good and somebody's bad, they have all fellowship with the good. That's not fellowship. Amen. Fellowship has nothing to do with status. Because if it had to do with status, God would say, you're a sinner, I can't fellowship with you. Yet He covers you in His love.
Amen.
A multitude of sins. Amen. He covers you with the blood and then He fellowships with you.
Amen.
Why is He doing that? Because He wants you to see your brother having faults, cover him with your love, and fellowship with him.
Amen.
Amen. Fellowship with him. Make a way. Love makes a way for fellowship. Remember, love brings fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. So this is so now you want to come to know and believe. How do you know that God loves you? Are you able to hear the voice of your name?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to understand the word of God for your day? Are you born under the star for your day? Amen. Are you walking in the light for your day? Is God showing you, revealing Himself to you? Amen. Then brother, what is the proof of God's love? Election. Amen. Did He show it to the denomination?
No.
No. Who opened your eyes? God.
Amen.
Amen. Now you come to know and believe His love. If you really believe God loves you, if you really believe God loves you, then you begin to believe. If you believe He loves you, then you begin to trust Him. Because love brings trust, love brings confidence.
Amen.
Love brings trust. Love brings confidence. If I know the sinner loves me, I know he'll never say anything to hurt me. And if he does, I know he doesn't mean it. Because people can get moody. You know what? Sometimes the people just, the enemy just provokes them. They say they literally mean it. You act like it never happened to you.
Amen.
Well, I want to say to these people. Amen. You never said something you regret saying. You never said something that you're sorry came out of your mouth. You don't even really mean it. You just said it. Amen. Sure. Amen. If I know Sarah loves me, I know he'll never do anything to hurt me. And if I have a need and he knows I have a need, I know he will give it to me.
Amen.
But he's Indian, so. It might take a long time before you get to be that dog. Yeah, you might get everything else first. Keep the dollars last. But you see, if I know he loves me, it's going to bring trust. It's going to bring confidence. That he'll never do or permit anything to happen to me unless it's going to be for my good.
Amen.
Amen. Now, watch carefully now. Do you love your children? I know you love your children, is that right? And you will never do anything to harm them. Isn't that true? Why do you whip them? Why do you cause them pain? Why do you punish them? Amen. Because what? Is that love in that? You mean sometimes you allow them to suffer for their own good? You know what you say? I can't hear you. Amen. Oh my. Amen. I must come to know and believe the love God has for me.
Amen.
Amen. But something, not because I only know, amen, that God loves love, the love God has, and believe the love God has for me. But if I don't know what love is, if I don't know what love is, I might reject His love.
Amen.
You, wait a minute, you never experienced that, right? You love your child, you whip him, and he's rejecting you. He's hating you. He's saying all stuff, you don't love me. Amen. You did this, you did this, you did this. But son, I love you. All right. That never happened to you, right? That you go. Brother, thank you for being honest. Amen. Amen. You whip them, and they are set and mad. Can't wait to leave your house. When I grow up, I'm going to get as far away as I can from you. If you don't know what love is, if you have the wrong understanding of what love is, amen, therefore you can reject His love, spurn His love, amen, rebel against His love, and not know it. Amen. You must come and know to know and believe the love God has for you. And if you do that, then you know that you can trust Him. And you don't know what love is, then the devil is going to make you question His love.
Amen.
The devil is going to make you question His love. Amen. What's now? Love is corrective.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love is corrective. And correction can be. Can be in many forms. Sometimes it comes in a form of humiliation. You openly rebuke them.
Yes.
And then you look around and see what people think.
Mm.
And how He shames me and what they will say. And now everybody is laughing at me. That is when you don't know His love. You see, you are thinking that He is doing it is to humiliate you. And even though it is humiliating, it's not the reason.
Yes.
But God loves to humiliate His children, but not for the wrong reason.
Amen.
He humiliates them to break their pride.
Amen.
To let them see you care too much about what other people think, care what I think.
Amen.
I know what's best for you.
Amen.
Amen. And you're full of pride. Therefore, I will bring you down.
Amen.
Amen. That I might build you back up. He has to, amen, humiliate you. He has to rebuke you openly. Did not Paul tell Timothy sometimes rebuke them openly?
Yes.
That will discourage others.
Yes.
As a correction, as a measure.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes, amen, correction can be punitive.
Yes.
Sometimes a remedial punishment. It beat you in such a way that will spank you in such a way, amen, to remedy situation. Amen. Cause you pain. Cause you discomfort. Amen. So pain, suffering, is a part of love.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
How many believe that?
Amen.
You really believe it? Thank you. How many is going to pray, Lord, let me love correction?
Yes.
Amen.
You see, because the human heart, the pride, amen, thinks correction is demeaning.
Amen.
Think correction means God don't love you. Yes. That when you correct your children, they think you don't love them. Amen. In other words, we have got to change or be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then we begin to appreciate.
Glory.
Our own way of thinking must change.
Amen.
And the things that we used to run away from, we must embrace.
Amen.
The things that you run away from, you must embrace. The things that you see. You know, when your dad spanked you, you didn't have the wisdom to know what he was doing. Amen. If you had the wisdom and you know now, you would say, Daddy, thank you for whipping me. It's not the right way.
Yeah.
Amen. When you see the problem, amen, unless you're matured to know now the significance of correction.
Yes, sir.
Amen. A correction equals love.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen. Therefore, amen, when the pastor corrects you, he loves you.
Yes,
but if the pastor corrects you, even for the wrong reason, even with the wrong attitude, don't look at his attitude. It is God using to correct you.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't look at the attitude.
Amen.
God will send a correction to correct his attitude. But the main thing is he's correcting you, and it's true. And for a time, God for the correction.
Amen.
Because he loves you.
Amen.
See, what God tries you sometimes to see, if you really know what love is. You'll be doing something wrong, you send a prideful man. What are you doing there? You send somebody who something is wrong in their life to correct you. And then you turn around and say, your life is not right when you try to correct me. See, not showing. You see, you don't love correction because you don't know his love. As long as I am wrong, even no matter how it comes, it can come by a proud man, even it can come by arrogance, it can come with the wrong spirit.
Amen.
All of that comes from Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you are just waiting. If the pastor comes up and he might have left a situation for a long time, he comes to deal with it now. You look at his children. See, you're not looking at the right picture. I don't care about his children. I don't care about the vessel being used. I just care that God loves me.
Amen.
And he corrects. Amen. You see, the other reason is because I don't know his love, and my pride will not humble to say, thank you, Lord. I don't want to, because I don't want nobody to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
But if you really know that God loves you, then love is corrected. And let me tell you this, I don't know about you, but I really need correction.
Amen.
Because I know my makeup, my nature, my way.
Amen.
You must have been a lot better, but you probably need less correction. Right? But I need a whole lot that has to come from many, many different ways.
Amen.
Even my daughter corrects me.
Amen.
Whether you're a pastor,
yeah,
whether you're a father,
yeah,
Amen. A pastor can be corrected just like anybody. God can use a little child to correct you. God can use a sinner to correct you. Amen. God can use your children to correct you. The deacon to correct you. Amen. Yes. As long as it's right, the attitude might be wrong. God will take care of that.
Correct.
The main thing is He loves me. And I am wrong. Thank you for correcting. So, but so that's a fairy tale. Might be a fairy tale to you. But this is real.
Yes.
You've got to love correction. If not, say, Lord, let me see how much you love me, then I might love correction.
Amen.
Amen. In all form, in all fashion, whether it be humiliation, whether it be open rebuke, whether it be private conversation, whether it be open, amen, rebuke from the pulpit, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
Who am I but some dust? You remember that? Oh, so wonderful. Those are wonderful lines. I'm nothing but some Trinidad dust. I'm nothing but some South African dust. Oh, we love that. Just rub them the wrong way. You see how that dust becomes Mr. South African dust. Amen. So now, love is collective. And you've got to realize that, look now, I'm going to go to a scripture. Let's go to the book. Amen. Is it shaping up okay? Yeah? By God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. First Peter 2. And the 9th verse. Watch very carefully. Pray the Lord give me the time to do it. 1 Peter 2. But ye are a chosen generation. That doesn't talk about 40 years. We're talking about people of all that have the same seed and the same line. Is that true? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. What's now? A peculiar people. Now I know you want to say that that means a different people. Well, you can say that. But in the Greek, that word is a very unique word. It means that you are a people who are encompassed. You are a people who are encompassed. You are encompassed by God. That's what makes you unique. Is He will not let you cross the line.
Amen.
Amen. The footstep of the righteous is ordered of the Lord, and your very footstep is numbered. It is numbered in such a way it can go many ways in this year, but you can't cross the separating line.
Thank you, Lord.
Because God is the one that
Glory.
Knows how far you go.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what that word means. It means now, watch very carefully. It means that nothing could happen to you unless God takes down the head. Unless God opens the head for the enemy to come in, nothing can happen.
Amen.
How many believe that God loves His people?
Amen.
How many believe God loves Job?
Wait a minute.
It seemed like he got Job in some hot water.
Yeah.
Satan left Job alone, and God said, Satan, why are you leaving him alone? Come here, have you considered my servant Job?
Yeah.
Amen. An upright man, a righteous man, a man who is sure evil. And Satan said to him, only because you hate him.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Only because you being a peculiar person that I cannot touch, is unique, he's been separated.
Amen.
I can't touch him. Now that was a man under the blood of bulls and goats. How much more the bride of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Now watch it. You say you really believe it now. It means God said to Satan, I'm going to let the hedge down.
Yes.
Do anything you want.
Yes.
Oh, man, aren't you afraid?
Yes.
Aren't you afraid? What if God said to Satan, I'm taking the head off of you, sister. And He told Lucifer, do anything you want, but don't take His life.
Amen.
Yes. don't even suspect that you'll be living under the altar. Isn't that true? The only thing about it is poor Job didn't know the conversation between God and Lucifer.
Yeah.
He was in the blind. Isn't that true? He was in the blind.
Yeah.
Amen. So therefore, what was happening in Job's life was something in the wisdom of God that God initiated. Not only the structure of his body and his children and everything else, he had three friends.
Yes.
Three friends that gave the Job to prove they were not friends. Job 3:4 Amen. You talk about when things are low and your friends become even lower, then that's really a good time, brother. Amen. It's you and you alone. Amen. God wanted, he wanted him alone.
Amen.
And the thing that Job feared is the thing that came upon him.
Amen.
Because if Job had fear, when his fear is storming, but perfect love is coming to cast that fear away.
Amen.
So God, let's take this for instance. He's peculiar. Nobody can touch him unless God permitted. Why did God permit the hedge to be taken away and the enemy to come to Job? To humiliate him? To perfect him.
Hallelujah.
To perfect.
Hallelujah.
Amen. To make him perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Therefore, nothing can happen to you unless God permits it. And if God is permitting it, it is because he loves me, it is for my good. Amen. I'm talking about faith. In other words, if Job believed God loves him, Job must believe also that whatever happened to him can only happen if God
permits
it. And whatever God permits is for my good.
Amen.
And God permits majority of time. God permits things that are unpleasant.
Yes.
Amen.
Painful.
Yes.
Bring unhappiness.
Amen.
Bring sorrow.
Amen.
Bring grief.
Amen.
Bring sadness.
Amen.
Robs you of your joy.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
To try to see where you are.
Amen.
To find where you are. And he knows where you are, but you can find where you are.
That's right.
Amen. I said, why am I here?
Amen.
Why am I on this ashy? Amen. Why am I here? Why is God permitting this? Good questions, huh?
Amen.
Amen. To cause Job, to cause you. So therefore, nothing can happen to you unless God permits it. Follow again. And he will not permit anything that is not for my good. Amen. Now, so whatever God permits in your life, now I'll give you an example. Very clear. Very small one. Majority of time is suffering that comes in your life. Because without suffering you cannot be made perfect. Suffering brings character.
Amen.
Is that true? And character shapes like this.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that true? How many like suffering? How many loves character? How many love the character of God? How many love suffering? How many love pain? I know you say, preacher, what about you? I'm transformed. My thinking has changed. I just forget sometimes. I have to remember by the Holy Spirit. Hey, this is suffering. It ought not to be bad for me, it ought to be good for me.
Yes.
Amen. Because you have to get yourself in that mode of thinking.
Amen.
Until it becomes a way of life.
Amen.
And if you don't start, you will never finish.
Amen.
God is bringing a mode of thinking. Amen. And when you see things, I know what some people think. When I think about suffering, you think about a car accident, losing an innocent child, or, you know. But you don't think suffering when somebody lies on you, and it's not true. You say that is the wrong kind of suffering. That's the suffering I must rise up and punch that man. I'm taking that, not that suffering. Somebody gossip about me and my family is part of rumor. I ain't taking that. No, sorry, that's not the suffering God says. You see, you want to choose your suffering. In your mind, you have an idea of the boundaries of what you are going to put up with.
Amen.
Isn't that true? Amen. But the guarantee now, amen, the thing that you hate is the thing that will come.
Yes. Amen.
And the thing you don't want people to do to you or say about you or your family or your children, and the condition you don't want to be in, is the very condition coming your way.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because he loves you. Are you afraid? Then you're not protected in life. Amen. If you say, Lord, no. Amen. And your heart begins to, because you're not perfected in love. If the perfect love cast out God.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. How am I going to get to this decision? How is this going to affect my life? How is it going to affect my enemies? It must affect them, isn't that true? Okay, now, this is where we are going. What must be the limits of my suffering? You believe his word? He will not give you more than you can. Yeah. In other words, if you is happening to you, don't say how much more. He is not foolish. He knows exactly how much more.
Amen.
Amen. Don't question how much more. And don't question why. Amen. Because you know why. Why is for perfection. Why is for character. You know. Therefore, a man who really knows and believes the love God has for him is going to have confidence. And one of the evidence of confidence is that he becomes meek. Meek. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for the meek shall inherit the earth. We believe that? It also said, the meek will he guide with his eyes. The meek will he teach. Do I need to quote those? You know them very well, don't you? Read this for you. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek him. The meek. The meek will he guide in judgment, and meek will he teach his way. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in heart and shall find rest the souls. The Lord will lift up the meek.
Amen.
You like being the meek?
Amen.
When the Lord arose the judge to save all the meek of the earth, the meek shall increase their joy in the Lord. Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
Now what is meekness? This is meekness. Can I read it for you?
Amen.
I know you say meek is gentle. No. In the language of the Greek, meek is a very powerful word. It reads like this. Meekness towards God is that disposition of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good. Mm. And therefore without disputing or resisting.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, the meek are those who wholly rely on God rather than their own strength to defend them against injustice. Thus, meekness towards evil people means knowing God is permitting the injuries they inflict and that he is using them to purify his elect.
Amen.
And that he will deliver his elect in his time.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, watch carefully now. I love this.
Amen.
Can you come to perfection without this character, without suffering? Mm-hmm. Can you come there without pain? Now you understand why the apostle says, count it all joy in the fiery trial.
Amen.
You know, they used to read that. What about these apostles? You must be something crazy. Rejoice. comfortable, joy in the fiery trials. Amen. But do you know that's the way you are going to be thinking? Do you know that's the way that you are going to be rejoicing?
Amen.
Count it all joy. Your fiery trials. Amen. In other words, count it all joy when you're treated with injustice and when people, amen, accuse you for being a thing that you never did. Amen. Or lie, or they are wrong and they are making you look bad. I should rejoice.
Amen.
You say never, right? Amen. But the heart who sees the wisdom of God, amen, will rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you see the wisdom of God, you will rejoice. Amen. You will not complain.
Amen.
Amen. Because if somebody lies on you, God is trying to see, amen, if there is any pride in you sometimes.
Amen.
God is trying your long suffering.
Amen.
God is trying to give you our forgiveness.
Yes.
God is going to see if you have long suffering or patience, forgiveness, if you're going to have mercy, if you're going to have pardon. If you say you have mercy, how else would you know? You might say, but how else do you really know you have it? Amen. Unless somebody tries you, how would you know you have it? If you say, I have patience, unless somebody provokes you, how do you know you have patience? You don't know it. So you have to count it all joy. When people provoke you, when people do you wrong, amen, you should be happy.
Amen.
Amen. Because God is not looking at what they're doing you. God is looking at how you're reacting.
Amen.
Amen. And He wants you to know how you're reacting means you still need to be perfected.
Amen.
Oh, brother. Amen. If the preacher takes all the gossipers out of the church, he doesn't love you. If God only put bride in bride church, He doesn't love you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You need the liars in the church. You need the gossipers. You need the thieves. You need the users. You need the manipulators. Amen. You need them all. How else would you be able, amen, to have character unless God tries you with these people? Amen. But we think a perfect church means putting out all the bad people, preaching them out, straightening up all the evil. That means that's the wisdom of God now. Amen. Oh, brother, when you have people who are difficult to work with, you better thank them. Thank you, brother. You are a real trial of my faith. Amen. Praise the Lord, you're here.
Amen.
And oh, we get together in a little corner and say, boy, why doesn't he leave? Amen. What a sister of God. My goodness. And you are the one with the problem. Because you can't overcome the gossip. You can't love her in her own faults, even though love covers a multitude of sins. But you don't think gossip is a fault. She's the one who ought to be pitied. She's the one who ought to be helped. And you're the one who's griping. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Watch very carefully. For me to have character, I must have suffering. I must have pain. And when I see I don't have suffering and pain, then I can't have character.
Yeah.
So when I see him and suffering, I must count it all joy.
Amen.
The fiery trials, the testing, I must say it. I must count it all joy. Because without this, I cannot have this.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if God wants me to have this, God must give me this.
Amen.
And if I want this, I must say, Lord, send me trials. Send me suffering.
Amen.
And it, you know, you pray like this, Lord, I want to be like a perfect man. You promise it, Lord, I want to be. And Lord, next day God answered your prayer, He sent somebody to lie on you, and then you're upset. Just answer your prayer. And you're upset. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that woman would lie like this. And God has just answered your prayer. And you are murmuring and complaining. What does meekness mean? Meekness means that whatever comes my way, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to say, why me? I am not looking for an answer. I know what comes my way. Amen? It is to perfect me. It is to try me. It is to test me. Amen? And therefore, brother, amen, you should be thankful for every ladder in the church.
Amen.
You should be thankful for every gospel. Shake their hands and say, thank you, brother. Without you, I can't be perfected. Amen. God loves me so much, he sent you. But in our wisdom, we don't want them. We don't see their value.
Yeah.
We don't see how important they are. And when you do that, you are saying God is a fool. And he doesn't know his business. And you who say you believe him, really don't believe him. You think you are wiser than him. Because if he has to shape me, to mold me, to bring me to this, would he not know what it would take to bring me to this? And if I, nothing can happen to me without him, then whatever happened to me must be the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. I must believe the all-wise God knows what I need more than I know what I need. I must not pick, I must not choose, I must even glorify God for everything that comes my way. Did not the Bible say, amen, give thanks unto God.
Amen.
In all things give thanks, but this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thanks in all things. Amen. This is so now if you know, if you say, I don't want this, why this happened to me? Amen. I didn't do anybody any wrong. I pay my tithe, do good, and now the pastor is against me. What did I ever do here? Amen. Young people leave church because the pastor got an attitude about them. That means they can never overcome. They'll never come to perfection because every pastor has an attitude, they'll leave them also. And that will be corrected. Amen. You should go up to the pastor and say, Pastor, I need you. I need you, Pastor. Amen. Even the pastor needs to try your faith.
Amen.
I tell you the truth though, the pastor's faith is trying more than all. More than all. Because he's always dealing and seeing the problem. And therefore he's always, if he forgets his position, if he forgets the wisdom of it, then brother, he's the man who's going home with all his suffering, all his troubles, all his headaches, all his worries. So therefore, when the pastor's eye becomes open to this wisdom, and he sees people, a lot of problem in the church, he said, thank you Lord, you want to perfect us badly. There's so much of them. Amen. That means there's a lot of trying, a lot of testing, a lot of mourning, and we are counting it all joy.
Amen.
The other program said, a church that is not going through trials is not the true church.
Amen.
Amen. It has got to happen. If God, amen, any time the church gets at ease, watch and see.
Yeah.
A place and see steps.
Amen.
Amen. I watch very carefully. Amen. So meekness. I'm going to draw it like this now. Let's draw it here. So love is to try you. What is the trial? When love projects grace in sorrow, and grace produces mercy, and mercy produces forgiveness and pardon. What does confidence produce? What does trust produce? It produces peace. But at peace, there is no worry, and there is no anxiety, and there is no fear. That Let us go to the book of 2 Peter
1 and 4.
We'll try to close about tonight. Sorry, 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. How can your peace be multiplied? Through what? Through knowledge. So therefore, as my knowledge grows, my peace grows. My knowledge of whom? God's love for me, God's plan for me, God's purpose for me. As that grows, my peace grows. But if the reason my peace is growing is because my peace is growing. And as my faith is growing, my peace is growing, then I don't question anything.
Amen.
Then therefore now anything that happens to me, I see it's the wisdom of God.
Amen.
I see it's the wisdom of God. It's God's wisdom to have this happen.
Hallelujah.
Everything in my life is in control. I might think I'm out of control,
yes,
but it is never out of control.
Amen.
Amen. Everything in my life now, watch now. The whole purpose in our redemption is for one thing. I know you're going to say worship. No.
Amen.
Worship is due God because of who He is.
Amen.
Angels worship Him, they're not redeemed. Isn't that true? That you owe God that. He is God, therefore you worship Him.
Amen.
All men worship Him. Even outside of the city, they will come in to worship Him. In the city, they will worship Him. Amen. That is what we do. We owe God that. But there is something that we do not owe Him.
Amen.
And there is something He does not owe us. But He desires. And there is something that you don't owe Him, but you desire. And that one thing is the word fellowship.
Amen. Yes,
and this is what love produces.
Amen.
Love produces fellowship. If love produces fellowship towards God, you cannot have fellowship with God if you do not have fellowship with your brother.
Amen.
So God is going to perfect this love. If He perfects this love, He's going to perfect fellowship. So as this affects your life, it is going to affect your relationship one with another.
Amen.
Even as your love, as you begin to see His love for you, your love is going to grow for Him. Now I want to ask you this. You're a parent. Let's say I have a child. Let's say my child is very ugly. I know she's ugly. I'm not saying my child is ugly, I'm just saying it. Watch it now. Yeah, because boys, I didn't mean that. And she's not ugly. Now, let's say I have a child and she's ugly. I know she's not very good looking. No. She's my child. Tell me, even if it's truth, you think I'll want for a girl to say she's ugly? What will it do to me? Don't you want good for your own? Even if they are not good, you want good for them.
Amen.
Jesus said, you who are evil know how to do good for your children. How much more your heavenly Father?
Yes.
Now don't you think that would hurt me? Don't you think that you all were born in sin, shaken into the grave? And by grace, God, in His love, God provided for you. And then now you turn around and talk bad about another one. How did that make him feel? Or magnify somebody's fault and he doesn't magnify you and you have a lot and he knows it. How do you think that makes him feel? You see, you cannot have fellowship with God and you're talking about his children.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's why you, if you say you love God and love not your brother, amen, you lie. Amen. Amen. But if you say you love him, amen, and your fellowship with him, you have fellowship with one another.
Amen.
Amen. And fellowship, which is based on love, covers a multitude of sins. There's no reason why there should be no love and embracing and covering a fault. You do not have the change for God to love you. God's love is not conditional, it's unconditional.
Amen.
While you were a sinner, he loved you.
Yes.
While you were a sinner, he did good for you.
Yes.
Amen. Now others must change for you to love them. Now follow again. Brother Brown said, you do not know what love is. So I'm going to break two pieces up and I'll close it for tomorrow. God's love is not like your love. You have to feel love to see you love.
Yes.
But not so with God. No such thing as feeling. Amen. What is the love of God? If you say you love God, what is the evidence of your love of God? If you love God, he says, do my will. To do the will of God. That's the love of God. You love me, keep my word.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with feelings. No way in the Bible talks about feelings or emotions with the love of God. Always his word. His word. Amen. The Father loves the Son and showing him many things. Amen. The Son loves the Father and doing his will. Only those things that please my Father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you say you love God, then the love of God is to do his will. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Now, God says, love your enemies. He did not say, by loving them, you'll stop being enemies. You need those enemies. They are good for you. See? Because now, watch carefully. You were an enemy to God. And while you were an enemy, he loved you and he did good for you. He's not asking you to do anything he didn't do. When you were an enemy, he loved you. And now, brother, amen, he's asking you to love your enemies.
Amen.
He did not say, you change from being my enemies and I'll love you. He didn't say, change and do good and I'll love you. No, while we were yet his enemies, while we were yet sinners, he was doing good for us.
Amen.
Amen. Love has nothing to do with feeling. Love has doing the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because it pleases God to see his heart.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
He's asking you to do what he has done for you. When you were an enemy, he did good for you. When you, amen, was doing evil and violating his word, he never judged you. He never destroyed you. He never gossiped on you.
Yes.
He made a way for you.
Amen.
He long suffered with you. He had patience with you. Amen. He had a willing heart to forgive you. He had a willing heart to make a way to pardon you. Freely, brother said, amen. God paid for the sins of the world. I just didn't want that sin. He is not asking you to do anything. He's just saying, if you're grateful for what I have done for you, then why don't you do it for others? He's not asking you to do anything different. As I have done unto you, you do it unto him. Amen. And he said, now, what does it mean to love your enemies? He said, do good to them that hate you. Has nothing to do with feelings, brother.
Amen.
Has nothing to do with how you feel. You think we have to feel it. He didn't say that. Let's do that which pleases your Father.
Amen.
That's the love of God. Now, I'd like to just turn to one scripture here. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians 8. We must first develop what love is before we can ever love. We must know what love is, otherwise we can reject it and not know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Now the word edify is a very important word for us. The word charity, of course, we know is love. Edify, it means to build up. It is the word okolmo. I can't pronounce it. Okomoio. Let's take it for what it is. Okomoio. Very difficult word. It means to build up. To build, to erect. It means to establish. It means to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness, to grow in wisdom and piety. It means, listen, edify means to build up, to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, blessedness, to grow in wisdom and piety. It means love builds up. Love builds up. Love does not tear down. Love does not destroy. Love builds up. So if love builds up, guess what hate does? Hate destroys. Hate tears down. Now watch your thing. Now love has to understand love or to see love, it comes in many different forms. Love is patient. So patience is an attribute of love. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. In other words, it doesn't boast on itself, but it makes you the bigger man. It not boasts about its accomplishment, it talks about your accomplishment. It doesn't know what to promote itself, it wants to promote you. Love is not envious. It does not want the best for itself, it wants the best for you. It rejoices when you are blessed.
Amen.
There are two forms of envy. One is an envy that when you see somebody get something, you say, it should have been mine. That's surface envy. The second kind of envy is, if I can't have it, I don't want you to have it. That's the worst kind. See, there's a surface and there's a deep root. But love is not boastful, love is not envious. Love beareth all things, hopeth all things. You see, so love, there's many attributes of love, like we'll get into tomorrow. Many attributes of love. But you see, hate has many attributes also. If love is to build up, hate is to tear down. If love is to build up, hate is to tear down. See? And I wanted to share with you, before we go into anything, attributes of hate. Because see, you can have hate against your brother, it is necessary. But you see, you're thinking it must be a feeling. And you can be hated according to God's word, and you don't know your hate. You can be rebelling against God's love and don't even know you're rebelling against God. You can be complaining, amen, about God's wisdom and not know God's wisdom. And you can be praying, some ignorant we can be praying for perfection and perfect faith. And when God sends it, we don't even know He sent it. For you to develop it, for you to become it. That's how blind we are. That's how ignorant we are. So instead of thanking God for the people who cause us pain, we hurl cursing and use force against them and speak evil of them because you see they did wrong. Therefore we are justified to behave the way we do. Let me make this statement. God don't care of who's right or wrong.
Amen.
God don't judge by the law. He does not. God don't care about who's right or wrong. God only cares about how you react. Because the right and wrong is sent to develop your character. You say even a blessing is a trial. If you can be blessed and somebody give you $1 million, that $1 million you might say is a blessing. Sometimes it's a curse. But $500,000 will stop you from coming to church. You'll stop doing this, stop doing that. You start this, you start that. You go into this, it takes up your time. Next thing you know, that money got you in a whole bunch of trouble. We call it a blessing. God says it as a trial to see your love. You don't have the character to handle the money and the power and influence that it brings. And it becomes destruction in your life. God don't care about who's right or wrong. I have people, well, you know, look at them. Now they've been taught and so forth, would come into my office in my younger days and they'll say, "Brother, Brother Tony, this brother did this. I can prove this brother did this." And they are upset because their brother really did it. They say, "I've got witnesses that say he did it." I say, "I don't care." Get upset. I say, Come. I said, "If this brother did this, he couldn't do it, let's go to a minute. And he did it, and look how you're reacting. You want justice. God never gave you justice, God gave you mercy. God, he didn't judge you by the law. He said, you never make it. Now you want your power flesh." I said, "But the reason that you're here is because you have no long suffering. You have no patience. You do not cover your brother's faults, and you cannot endure injustice. God loves you so much, He just showed you everything you lack. Now go thank God for the brother."
Amen.
But you know, you don't have to talk to your people so much. It's the ministers. They are the ones who see the wrong in each other. The wrong, the shortcoming, the suffering. This one is qualified, this one is not. This one is this, and this one is that, and this one is this. God knows who is who. But He sent that to see if you have wisdom. If you have love, if you have long suffering, if you have patience, if you will set the example, if you can overcome, otherwise your people are going to look for their power and flesh also. You cannot be perfected without suffering. So love builds up. Now watch now. I know I'm coming to, I have to end. And I want to say a couple of things that I think you want to go over and pray about. How many believe? Do you believe this bride can be deceived?
No.
Her man says that this bride cannot be deceived. She cannot be deceived. This bride is predestinated not to fall, he says. She cannot. Not even Paul can deceive her. Not even Brother Branham can deceive her. Nobody can deceive this bride.
Amen.
Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You were not sons because you were born. Because you were sons, you are born.
Yes.
Prophet is teaching us. How many believe that?
Amen.
Therefore, no false doctrine can hinder the bride.
Amen.
No qualified or unqualified ministry can stop this bride.
Amen.
Amen. No backslidden preacher can stop the bride.
Amen.
No false preacher can stop this bride.
Amen.
Nothing can stop this bride.
Amen.
She's elected for destination, not to fall. She's in the hands of God. It's already written that there is a bride, and the names are already in the Lamb section of the book. You believe that?
Amen.
Do you know, with all of that belief, we still upset with each other sometimes because of what we believe? Yet doctrine cannot keep you up. And doctrine cannot keep you up.
Amen.
Three things Brother Branham did. When he spoke on the Moses anointing, he said, "God knows it for you. The devil voted against you. Now it's your choice." Is that right? Under the Moses anointing, he says that. The Moses is the Lord. Then he says, "You are like Adam and Eve, based on free moral agencies. You have choice, and the choice you make."
Amen.
Not true? That's under Moses anointing, under Elijah anointing. Elijah saw the wrong in Israel and began to intercede against Israel. God said, no, don't you intercede against my people. I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal. Isn't that true? He went to that critical spirit, and Elijah today saw a woman with a man hand around her. He said, Lord, why don't you wipe the whole thing away? He said, come here, let me show you something.
Yes.
Give him a good dose of his own sins.
Yes.
Then Martha. He said, now I pardon you freely, now you condemn her.
Amen.
Went back and led the woman to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You understand? He, under his anointing, he would speak as if you have something to do with it. That is only for the unbelievers to shake them. To keep the ministry with all the enlightenment. That they keep preaching law, keeping you have something to do, you have something to do. But when he come out the Son of Man anointing, he said, you have nothing to do with this. When the light strikes that city, it comes to life.
Yeah.
And never anointing altogether, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of grace. Said all these things. Now watch carefully. He says, you have free moral agency like Eve. You have choice. One, you break one word. See what happened. Then turns right around and says, you are under Abrahamic covenant. Unconditional covenant.
Yeah.
Not like Eve. Eve was unconditional. If you eat, but not the Abrahamic covenant. Amen. It's not what you do. It's what I have. It is that way.
Yeah.
Amen. And if that be true, then tell me, there is not a brother who can preach anything apart from living in immorality I will not have. And I put it. The only reason. You want to live right. Polygamy and all this kind of loose living. But to separate, because he does not see it that way, to hold him accountable. Love covers a multitude. If I have to help him, if I love him enough, maybe I can. My God might use me to help him. Amen. Brother Neville did not see what about his baptism right away.
Yes.
But Brother Grant stayed and loved him while he was a Methodist preacher. Till he eventually felt it. Amen. I'm trying to show you there's nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
No man, no force, nothing.
Yes.
Amen. Therefore, why are you afraid?
Yes.
There's no reason to be afraid. Amen. We ought to love our enemies. Do good to them that hate them. And build them up.
Amen.
Build them up, brother. Follow me now. If love edifies, love builds up. Tomorrow we're going to build a building up. But let me give you an example of tearing down. If we say we love, then these things ought not to come out from our mouth. We ought not to lie one to another. If we lie on one another, we're not building up, we're tearing down. Lying lips feed the ones that is afflicted. It's not building up. Is tearing down. Now lie comes in many forms, and the most prevalent places for lie is where you expect the greatest truth. So lying is not just lying. Lying has many forms. One form is flattery. Flattery. You're flattering a man, but without being genuine. Flattery is a lie. Another form of lie is deceit. It means you cover the things you are saying to allow the people to get a false impression of what you really want to say. And it's really empty. But yet you're causing somebody to have the wrong view about somebody or some condition. Sometimes we do like this, brother, I really want to talk about a brother, you know. You know, I really want to talk. I love him. And all of a sudden you turn around with the same speed and say, yeah, but you know. He just neutralized the person. And did exactly tear the man down. That's deceit. We use it all the time. That's not love. That's not building up. that's tearing down. Bible says, you got a problem with a brother, go to him.
Amen.
Talk it over. Reconcile. The next form of a lying tongue is a manipulating tongue. Manipulation. You manipulate people by words or by actions or by behavior. You know that? You can manipulate. If somebody doesn't want to do certain things with you, and you cut them off. He doesn't want to believe like you, they want to listen to you, you cut them off. You're using your emotional ties with them, not to satisfy them emotionally. Your friendship, you're straining. You're manipulating the situation. That is not building up, that's tearing down. All of these are part of hate. All of those are part of hate because it's not building up, it's tearing down. It's wanting to control people's thinking and thoughts about people, even by making it dishonest. A hasty tongue. Hasty tongue does not build up. Does not think, does not pray, does not consider the other man why he's doing the things he's doing. Once he's unhappy, he speaks. And he says, you know, I'm a man who speaks my mind. Even though it hurts and afflicts pain, just for him to be satisfied. A hasty tongue does not build up. It tears down. I have scriptures for all of these, and you just a divisive tongue. How about an argumentative tongue? Does an argumentative tongue build up? Is it love? Does love argue? Does love argue? Brother said, God does not argue, neither does his children. Argue. A tongue that depreciates others. It tears down others. Does not fill them up. Most guilty is the congregation. They're always talking about some preacher, some pastor, somebody. Amen. Don't you know that even if the man is wrong, he's still God's servant?
Amen.
And especially your elders. Regardless of what, they cannot be where they are unless God put them there. And you should never speak evil of your rulers. That's what the Bible said. Amen. Who are you to do it? Those are God's servants. Let God take care of them. Amen. A slandering tongue does not build up, therefore hates. I'm just showing you the different words that come out of your mouth. You don't think it's hate, but it's hate as far as God is concerned. It's tearing down, it's not building up. That which that does not build up must be hate. A gossiping tongue. Amen. Does not build up, it tears down. How about a meddling tongue? Yes, it's always meddling in people's business. You know that? You know those people? How about a know-it-all? How about a rude, aggressive, proud? Does this thing build up? If it's not building down, up, then it eats. If I have to close off the service tonight, I'll say it like this. You can only give that which you receive. If you have not received, then you cannot give. But if you have received, the Bible said that our God is a heart that's ready to forgive. Do you know that? His heart is ready to forgive. Let's read that. It is in Psalms 86 and 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to what? Forgive. Is your heart ready to forgive? You see, forgiveness is an evidence. Forgiveness is an evidence of God's mercy. And if you have received mercy, he did not judge you for what you are, but he provided a way that instead of destroying you, he can be merciful. He did not judge you by justice. He gave you mercy. Not what you deserve. He made a way for you. Therefore, mercy is an evidence that you're under the grace of God. And if you're under the grace of God, it's because you're under the love of God. Now watch carefully. Therefore, if I have a heart that's ready to forgive, I'm ready, just like my God, I'm ready to forgive, it's the very evidence that I am so grateful that He is always ready to forgive me, because I need it all the time. If I need God's forgiveness all the time, Peter said, how much time must I forgive? He says, 70 times. Amen. God's heart is ready to forgive. And why? Because He knows that we need it. And if I am always looking for Him to forgive me, then brother, I'm always ready to forgive you because I know you're weak. I know we have faults. I know we have problems. My heart must be like His heart. And when I forgive, it proves that I have received so much forgiveness that I feel ashamed of it. I have received so much mercy. What is mercy? It means you have done me wrong. And if I judge by right and wrong, you will be wrong. Therefore, I can be merciful. Even when I can't be merciful when you are not guilty. I can only be merciful when you are guilty. Therefore, even I say, amen, I don't care. Let somebody do me wrong so I can show how grateful I am to my Father by giving mercy as He has forgiven me who was guilty and gave me mercy. You see, everything you give to them, it's because you have received from Him.
Amen.
He's not asking you to give anything that He has not given you. Therefore, the evidence of these people be the reason sinners are out there. And so I can look and see that could have been me if not for the grace of God.
Amen.
And now my heart goes out for them because I could be like them. But God, rich in mercy.
Glory.
Amen. Touch me, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Now, brother, when I see them, my heart is like His heart.
Amen.
And now God wants you to be like Christ. And Christ is out there for us, as we must be out there for them. We think they are nothing. They were placed there for us to see the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace, and to exercise love for our enemy as He was, has done for us. And when you see the people in our church, in our assembly, who are doing wrong, saying wrong, acting wrong, inflicting hurt, pain, causing confusion and trouble, amen, you ought to thank God. We get all frustrated. This is the wisdom of God. Amen. This is the house of God, the people of God. He can destroy it anytime He wants, but He knows you need it. Count it all joy. Amen for the suffering. Amen. Be under expectation. Amen. Under expectation. Brother, hit me. Hit me. Remember, the prophet said, strike him, and he didn't strike. Go hit. Just a little bit. I forgive you, brother. Amen. You must be so ready to forgive with the joy to forgive. Amen. Just as you expect God to forgive you because He loves you, then you're not afraid. Why am I afraid? My God is ready to forgive.
Amen.
Amen. When I do wrong, I learn from it. I grow experience from it. He'll chastise and correct for my own good. But brother, ready to forgive. He's rich in mercy. Why should I be afraid? Amen. When we begin to have that kind of heart, when we begin to pray, Lord, send trial. When somebody does something wrong and the first thing clicks in your mind, amen, it's hurting me. Why is it hurting me? Pay in me is pay attention. Amen. Not to what the person is doing, but why am I hurting? Pain is not negative. Pain is positive. Pain says pay attention. Why am I hurting? Maybe I'm too proud. Maybe I feel that if I look at it from the form of justice, I never did him anything he did wrong. Then I'm looking at it from justice. Do I want God to judge me in justice? No, but mercy. Lord, forgive him like you forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. He don't know what he's doing, Lord. You say, well, he knows what he's doing. No, he doesn't know. Amen. The Bible says they don't have the right mind. Amen. You have to have, God has to change your mind. You have to be transformed to the right mind. Oh, you didn't have the right mind. You see, you're judging wrong rightly. I say unto you, friends, the rich young ruler came to Christ one time. He said, what shall I do to have eternal life? He said, you know, keep the commandments, do what it says. He said, all this I've done is my youth. He said, one thing I've done. So I said, sell all your time following. That was the denomination. Brother Branham, first time he preached that text was in a Pentecostal meeting. The rich young ruler lifted up his eyes and cried. At that meeting, he was deceived in the shop, hiding. And in that meeting, they said, where's William Branham, the Baptist preacher? And the seed is hiding in the shop. Till somebody says, here he is.
Amen.
That's where, that's what the seed preached. The last message Brother Branham preached doctrinally. Amen. It's leadership. Talking about communion and leadership. Leadership.
Amen.
And guess what he preached? The rich young ruler. Because he represented Pentecost.
Yes.
See? The shop pulled away and never followed the leadership of the word. Yeah, he ends it now. The seed is not here with the shop.
Amen.
But watch now. I say to you today, we are not worried about Pentecost, we are in the message itself.
Amen.
And you might come to your pastor today. You might come to the ministry today and say, you know, there's something missing. I seem to love my enemy. We seem to separate. We don't have the right fellowship. We always separate and always kind of can't get together. And you'll say, what should I do? And the preacher will say, oh, you know what the prophet said? Dress right, act right, live right. All this I've done for my youth. I've kept COD. I've paid my time, my offering. I've done all of these things. And there's one thing I would say to you. I say, you lack it one thing. You lack love.
Amen.
You lack love.
Amen.
Because where there is love, there is no division.
Amen.
Love covers a multitude. Lord, love draws you back in the spirit. Love will never speak evil. It will never tear down. It will never promote separation. It will never promote disrespect. It will never promote tearing down. It will never promote anything.
Yes.
Love will cover a multitude of sins. I was hoping to get to the place to show you how to get to that place of love. And the Lord has me here tonight. And here's where I put this. If it's anything that we need, it's love. If it's anything we should pray for, it's love. If it's anything the preacher must preach, with anything he's preaching,
Amen. It
is because I can preach this, it's because God loves me.
Amen.
That is true. Now, there are three forms of love, but there are three forms of faith. There is faith that is in Christ. That is what you believe that God has done for you already in Christ. There is the faith of Christ, which is the new birth. To believe the message of the hour. That is the faith of Christ. That is not what God has done for you, but that is what God through you will do for others. Pray for the gospel, pray for the sick, all of these things. Walk in the word. But there is another faith. And that is called perfect faith. That is not faith in Christ. That is not faith. The faith of Christ. But that is faith in your position in Christ. And I'm closing. I'm going to take you back to the story. How many remember Brother Brown hunting in Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
He's hunting in Colorado and a storm comes up. He's getting ready to turn back and leave. God says, do you want to hunt? said, speak to the stone. He didn't ask God. He said, speak to the stone. He speaks to the stone and he's getting ready to walk back down. And God said to him, he said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac. Why don't you walk? Watch carefully now. Before Brother Branham could walk with God in that way, remember, Brother Branham was walking in the world. He had fellowship with his brothers. He never wanted separation. He never caused this discord. He never had anything.
Yeah, amen.
Look at where he is at now. And God now is initiating the fellowship.
Amen.
Because he knew that this man would do nothing to harm his feet. He would rather suffer loss. He would rather be thought of as evil.
Amen.
And to speak evil of him. And God is coming and saying, why don't you walk with me? And now I want you to watch now. Brother Branham looks up and he says, great Jehovah, is that you? He's telling you now. Jehovah, who never answered to that name for 2,000 years, answered back.
Amen. Glory.
Amen. Now remember, you could get nothing outside the name of Jesus. But here now, a man is invoking a name that's outside of redemption.
Yes. Amen.
Great Jehovah, is that you? And Jehovah answered back. But watch now. He begins to walk down. And he begins to see him turn into a young man, and his wife appears on his side. As he gets down to where he's going, he sees 3 days. He had a red shirt on. They're not even afraid of him. He said, I can pop them off. 1, 2, 3. Now, he's not only in harmony with God, he's not only in fellowship with God. He not only has authority to speak to the storm. He not only has a walking into perfection, but here now the creation,
amen,
has seen,
glory,
come back into that position.
Amen.
Watch carefully. Then he goes now and he says, you know, I always thought I had something wrong. I had done something. I said, God would reveal it to me. I would make it right. From that moment on, he left him. Perfect peace. Perfect confidence. Amen. Perfect love. Perfect fellowship. Amen. In the evening time. Now watch now. We now fellowship with God through His Word by walking in His Word in obedience. What He said, we now have fellowship with God. And walk in the light as He's in the light. But I want you to know, and God, we ask God for things in this Bible in Jesus' name. Amen. But the day is coming, we will no longer ask in Jesus' name, but we will speak according to our own faith.
Amen.
Because of our position. Adam never spoke in any name. Adam just said, wind be still. Adam just said, lion come forth. Watch now. We now know the mind of God through His Word.
Yes.
But Adam didn't have any Bible. Adam's mind and God's mind.
Amen.
And here now the prophet, amen, he is thinking, hunting, and God is, amen, his desire has become God's desire. He said, you want to hunt?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said, before you ask, I will answer. Before you call, I'll be there. That's fellowship. When God is so pleased.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, the Bible said, when God, when a man waits, pleases the Lord, he'll cause even his enemy to be at peace.
Amen.
Creation is at peace with him. The animals is at peace with him. God is at peace with him. He is at peace with himself. Amen. A man coming to such a place of perfect peace. Do you know what Jerusalem means? Teacher of peace. Go back and read it. The compound name is teacher of peace. Do you know who is the king of Jerusalem? Melchizedek, the king of peace. Do you know why we are called sons of God? Because we are children of, amen, vessel of peacemakers, for you shall be called a what?
fallen. I say to you, we are in a cycle now. That this perfect love is going to bring a perfect trust, which is going to be a perfect faith, not in the world, but in your possession.
Amen.
In your possession.
Amen.
Amen. And that is going to bring a perfect peace.
Hallelujah.
You're going to enjoy perfect fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. But how can we get there when we cannot even fellowship one with another?
Amen.
How far we've got to go. I say, brother, we better wait now. I said, we walk away. All the knowledge you have of this message is nothing if you can't love your neighbor. It's nothing if you can't live in peace with them who disagree with you. God bless you for that. I want to pray that the Lord will just, amen, bless you in such a way to cause your heart to say, Lord, this is what I need. For the musicians come. Brother Brown said the only place to end, the only way to enter there is perfect love. He said, if you say to this mountain, be removed, be plucked up and be removed. They asked him about it. He said, and when you stand praying, forgive. They are not disassociated statements. You see, a forgiven heart is a heart that is full of mercy. And a heart that's full of mercy is a heart that's full of grace. And a heart that's full of grace is a heart that's full of love. We let little things people do affect our thoughts about them so negatively. When God permits that, to try your love. See if you have patience, long suffering, to see if you really know how much He forgives you. How much mercy He has given you. Look how much we treat His love, His mercy, His grace. The only way to be grateful of it is to give it back to others in the measure He has given it to you. It's what I must say. Father, I know it's lacking in me, but I know how much I need it tonight. I know how much my people need it tonight, Father. How we need to know and believe the love you have for us. That we can have so much confidence in you. That no matter what comes our way, we know you cannot come unless you permit it. And it's for my good. To rejoice when we see that we come to try our faith and rejoicing. Thank you, Father, for the trials. How we have handled it so unwise in the past. How we complain at your very wisdom in sending the things that are sent. How we think, Lord, that we are wiser than you.
Yes.
I pray tonight that you show us our foolishness.
Yes.
Cause us to repent of you.
Yes.
Father, cause every heart tonight to say, Lord, I am guilty. Here am I.
Yes.
And as you are so ready to forgive me, I stand here tonight ready to forgive everyone.
Yes.
I pray tonight your Holy Spirit will saturate everything. And I pray tonight, Lord, if there's one tonight who say, Lord, I'm guilty tonight. Look upon me, Father. Cause me to see your love that I might love others. Cause me to see your grace that I might be gracious to others. Here I am tonight, Father. My hands are lifted up.
Yes.
Pass me not to a gentle
spirit. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. My humble cry tonight. We're not looking at who's watching or who is seeing tonight, Father. We just want you to see our hearts. We just want you to know, Father, how we have missed the mark and how we have treated your children so shabbily, and we have treated your grace and your wisdom to send the things that you send our way and complain and murmur and fight and bite and devour. I pray tonight, Father, these hands, Lord, will not just be under this anointing, but Lord, this word will go with them.
Yes,
and Lord, that they will seek your love, that you will make it so known, so real to them, Father,
yes,
that we can love our enemy. We look forward to loving them.
Yes.
We look forward to forgiving. We look forward to being tried. We look forward to be tested, Lord, that we might know what is in us. We might cry unto you. We clapping with our hands, you've seen them tonight. My hands is up, Father. I stand here now, Father, asking that your Holy Spirit to anoint your children. Let this service, Lord, not be another service, but Lord, amen, let it be the Spirit of God working in the hearts of the people.
Yes,
children, Lord, and when they leave here, Lord, they leave here better men,
yes,
better women, Lord, more
hallelujah.
More zealous to love the enemy.
Yes.
Zealous, amen, to forgive, more ready to forgive, to be more merciful, more gracious, Lord, to rejoice in the exercise of their faith, Lord. Joy tonight, Father. Bless them tonight. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon the word.
Yes.
Tonight, Lord. The people is not just hearing the word,
hallelujah,
but Lord, is acting upon your word and making it manifest, making it flesh tonight, Lord. Bless them is my prayer. Bless the continuing meetings, the services in the local church tomorrow, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Use the ministry, Father. Use your servants. Let us walk together. How they have treated others, how they have treated their enemies, how they have treated them, have done evil to them, Lord. Cause them to repent tonight, Father. Say the goodness of the Lord. Lead into repentance, Father. And you say, if we repent, Father, you are just and true to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness tonight. Bless your servants now. Bless, Lord, this church. Bless the pastor. Bless the elders here, Lord, and the different ones.
Yes.
We commit it in your great hands tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you.